Good morning.
Good morning.
It is wonderful to have each and every one of you here this morning. We will begin by singing the doxology, and it is found in your hymnal number 549. Singing the doxology together. Worship is found in your hymnal number 674. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, O world. Sing to the Lord, give him honor. Preach his salvation each day. Tell to the nations his greatness. Tell to all of the peoples his splendor. The Lord is great. He is worthy of praise. He is more awesome than all other gods. Ascribe to the Lord, O tribes of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord both honor and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Bring him a gift and enter his courts. Worship the Lord in holy demeanor. Tremble before him, O earth. Say to the nations, the Lord becomes king. He causes the world to endure. He rules his people correctly. Amen. Our first hymn this morning is number 458, Jesus Keep Me Near the Cross. Number 458, Jesus Keep Me Near the Cross.
Oh,
prayer. Our gracious God, we are so thankful for each and every one that is here this morning to worship you. We are so thankful for those that are viewing our worship service right now throughout this medical center. Lord, we lift all of them up to you in prayer. And God, we would ask that you would give them that peace that passes all understanding right now in their lives. Lord, that you would hear their requests and their needs as they are thinking about them right now, as they are feeling them right now. The physical needs, Lord, the emotional needs, the financial needs, the spiritual needs. God, we lift them all up to you right now. God, you remind us again and again that we can never outlove you, that we could never outgive you, we could never outpray you. But Lord, we come before you now, humbly, just the way that we are. And God, we are grateful for this time of worship that we have, for this time of prayer that we have with each other, to lift each up in spirit and truth who we are. And God, we are so thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us on the cross for our sins, that we may, sometime in the future, be on that golden strand, joined with our loved ones that have gone before us, and joined with you in heaven. We thank you, God, for that. And Lord, we are so thankful that you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for praying with me this morning. Our next hymn is number 409, I Will Sing the Wondrous Cross. Number 409, I Will Sing the Wondrous Cross.
Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story.
Scripture reading this morning is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 16. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are, therefore, Christ's ambassadors. And though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we are so thankful that our act of worship has been given to you thus far with all that we can show you, all of our feelings, our emotions, our thoughts are focused on you. And God, you know that. And I would ask that that act of worship would continue right now. And Lord, that your spirit of your presence in our lives would speak to us ever so softly of your love for us. Help me now, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I can only tell you it's good to be back. And even though I've only been gone for a couple of weeks, a couple of Sundays, right? It's good to be back, because I always miss the opportunity that I have to come and worship with you here in the chapel, because I think we do so always as a family. And so it's wonderful to have each and every one of you here this morning. You know, in our lives, God wants us to truly be an ambassador for him, to be a representative of God in all that we do, in all that we say. And the scriptures remind us again and again that as we are God's ambassadors, we are a new creation. Once we came to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we became something new, something different, something unique. We have become something that no longer follows the thoughts and the principles of the majority of the people that are around us in the world in which we live in. We need to stand apart as representatives, as ambassadors of God. In fact, the responsibility that we have is one in which, as we represent God, we actually are to take on. And we can't do it without God's strength. without his power, without his spirit in our lives. We are to take on the righteousness of God in all that we do, in all that we say. And that is a tremendous responsibility, because when we take on the righteousness of God, it is something in which we can only do so when we are living holy lives. Because only then can we respond to being the representative that God wants us to be. Only then can we respond to be the ambassador of God. Only then can we show and demonstrate the righteousness of God is being holy. And the way that we follow and become holy is to be separate, to be separated from those things that other people think are the right thing to do, to be different. Not just to be different for different sake, but to be different because we want to represent the holiness of God. So therefore, we take on a new attitude of the things that we do, the things that we say. We are still in the world. We are still a part of the world. But our attitude and actions should reveal that there is something different about us. Should reveal to the people around us that we are truly representing God because we are taking on that responsibility of being Christ's ambassadors. And God makes an appeal through us to others, through the world, as we represent Him. Now, many times we don't do a very good job of that. I know that I do not do a very good job of that. But that doesn't mean that we should stop being the representative that God wants us to be. In fact, we become actually a better representative and a better ambassador by our failures as we walk with God. Because when we look at our own lives, when we look at our own endeavors to be holy, and we see our failures, we see the mistakes that we have done. But when God takes us back, shows us His grace, forgives us of our sins, of our mistakes, of our wrongs, we actually become stronger ambassadors for Christ. Because we know what it is to be a representative of Christ, because we have experienced the forgiveness of God through His Son, Jesus Christ, again and again in our lives. And it gives us an opportunity to grow stronger and to mature in our walk with Him. And so when those things take place in our lives that are not holy, God provides them to us to make us more of His ambassador, more of His representative. Because how can we present a message of reconciliation to God unless we ourselves have been reconciled to God? Not just one time, but that reconciliation of God that happens in our lives again and again and again. It's not just a one-time reconciliation. It's an ongoing process in our walk with God. Because the old is gone, the new is here. And when we think about that, when we understand that, when it becomes part of our walk with God, we have a deeper appreciation of the love of Christ for each and every one of us. And because we have that deeper appreciation of the love of Christ, we are able to show that love of Christ to others in a more deep, intimate way, truly representing him, truly being his ambassador. Because we understand the reconciliation process. We understand the reality of the mistakes that we have done in our lives, the reality of the sin that is there. And we experience and we sense God's love in that reconciliation. Because we experience His forgiveness. His forgiveness in our lives. But there's an element that's added to that forgiveness that makes reconciliation possible. And that is, God adds trust to that forgiveness. When He forgives us of our sins, when He forgives us of our mistakes, when He forgives us of those things where we know that we have done wrong, He adds trust to it. Because the only way that we can be reconciled completely and totally to God is to have reconciliation, is to have forgiveness and trust. So when we come to the cross, when we ask God to forgive us of our sins, we acknowledge that we are separated from God and we want to have that relationship to be reestablished, to be reconciled. God forgives us. But not only does God forgive us, God provides to us trust. He is trusting us to go and sin no more. He is trusting us with His love. He is trusting us with His grace. He is trusting us with the power of His Spirit in our lives. And it is only in the forgiveness plus the trust can we truly be reconciled with God. And when we understand that, when we make it part of our lives, when it is reflected in our attitude, in our action, when we can see that God has truly forgiven us, He has truly trusted us, He has truly reconciled us to Him, then we truly do become more accountable before God in our walk with Him. And then we see that in that accountability, in that path of holiness that He wants us to walk. And yes, we're going to get off the path. We're going to make mistakes. But God has reconciled us to Him. He wants the relationship with you and with me. I think of people within my own life that have offended me, that have wronged me. And if I valued that relationship, regardless of whether the person came and asked me for forgiveness, it doesn't matter. If I valued the relationship, I have to forgive them. And if I want reconciliation within that relationship, I have to add trust to that forgiveness. Because I love that person. I want to be in a relationship with that person, regardless of what they have done to me, regardless of whether they have asked for forgiveness or not. It doesn't matter. I want the relationship. And in the same way, God wants that relationship with you. God loves you, and He loves me. And He wants to be reconciled to each and every one of us. He wants us to take that message of reconciliation to others because He loves them in the same way that He loves you. And so when we talk to people about Christ's love, when we represent Christ's love, when we are ambassadors of Christ's love, we need to tell them about God's message of love and forgiveness and of trust. Because God wants them to be reconciled to Him, to truly be the sons and the daughters of God. And as we walk on that journey, as we ourselves become more accountable before God in our holy walk with Him, we become less and less away from God. And we become more and more closer to God. Because we see within that reconciliation the true application of forgiveness that adds trust. Because you don't love someone truly unless you trust them. Isn't that so? You truly don't love somebody in a relationship unless you truly trust them. And God is trusting us to be His ambassador, to be His representative. Because within that trust, we truly see the application of the love of Christ in our lives. And we see in that application that as we are walking in the world, as we are a part of the world, as we dialogue with the world, there's a part of us that needs to reveal to the world something that is different and unique that they do not have. And the revealing of that is understanding that you have been reconciled. Your story of reconciliation is what needs to be told as you represent Christ. Your story of God's forgiveness for you. Your story of God's trust for you. Your story of being reconciled back to Him, to be one of His own. Because that truly is the application of the love of Christ. Because when we do that, we understand that we are totally convicted to the task. Our conviction is there. Our conviction is there to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Our conviction is there to be that representative of Jesus Christ. Because in our walk with God, in the forgiveness and the trust that we've experienced, in that reconciliation that we have with God, we become convinced again and again in our personal walk, in our walk of holiness with God, that Christ died for everyone. That His reconciliation is for everyone. That what He did for us on the cross is for everyone. And though He was without sin, sin was placed upon Him. Sin was crucified with Him. Your sin and my sin. Sin was put to death on Christ. Sin was buried in the tomb with Christ. But then something very special happened. And in the same way, happens to each and every one of us that have experienced Christ's forgiveness and trust and reconciliation. We become new. We become truly resurrected in our walk with God. Just as Christ rose from the dead and was reconciled with God, ascended to be with God, in the same way you and I, when we come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and forgiveness is incorporated in our life, trust is given to us, reconciliation takes place, you and I become one with God. And that is the only way that you and I can become the righteousness of God to others. Because we have taken what God has done for us. We have taken that conviction. We have taken the same commitment that Christ made to go to the cross for your sin and for my sin. That same commitment in our lives truly reveals that we have been reconciled to God. Because it is commitment based on dedication. Dedication in terms of who we are as followers of Jesus Christ. Dedicated to the cause of Christ. Dedicated to being His ambassador, to be His representative. And that message that we talk about with others is our own lives laid before them. Our own personal stories about how we walk with God. Our own personal stories about how God directed us in our own lives through our own mistakes, through our own failures, through our own sin. Because each and every one of us has experienced God's forgiveness and trust and reconciliation in a very special, unique way. Because Christ died for you. Christ died for me. Christ died for the world, not the world in a general sense, but in a world of individuals. That Christ died for each and every one of them. Just like He died for each and every one of us. So as we go before this day, as we begin this week, please do so knowing that you are reconciled to God. That you have a commitment to God, based one of dedication and love, to show others the same way that you came to know Christ, the same way that you came to accept Him as your own personal Savior, the same way that you truly have taken on the righteousness of God, the holiness of God, because you want to, because of your dedication, because of the commitment that God has made to you, because of the reconciliation that has taken place in your life. Amen. Let us take a few moments and prepare our hearts for communion together as a body of believers in Jesus Christ. Because when we partake of communion together, we are truly saying publicly and giving that testimony of the fact that we have taken God's forgiveness, His trust, and we have been reconciled to Him because of what Christ has done for us on the cross in the forgiveness of our sins. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we are so thankful that you give us this wonderful opportunity to worship you, to take communion together publicly, to demonstrate to you that we are reconciled to you, that we are your ambassadors, that we are your representatives, that we truly want to show the righteousness of God in our lives. Thank you, God, for your forgiveness of our sins for trusting us and for loving us. In Christ's name, amen. For I receive from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us partake together. Please turn with me in your hymnals to number 303. I serve a risen Savior. Number 303, I serve a risen Savior.
I know that he is living whatever men may say.
Let us pray. Our gracious God, remind us of the reconciliation that we have with you, the forgiveness that we have with you, the trust that we have with you, all because of what your Son did for us on the cross, for each and every one of us. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for coming.